Hello, my name is J. Lewis Mills, for On the Level with J. Lewis Mills. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to lend me something. I need you to lend me your ear, and I need you to lend me your common sense. I need you to come join me. I need to talk to you. You need to talk to me. It's about time that we let it all out. Join me. I want to hear from you. What's good, people? You got me. Thank you for joining me once again. This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are with me on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Hope you all had a good week since last Wednesday. I tell you what, for me, it's been kind of hectic. It's been a blessing, but it's been kind of hectic. I've been working on my latest project. I can't really talk about it too much, but I can say, if you go over to imdb.com and you search my name, J. Lewis Mills, you will be able to see the project I was just working on. You'll be able to see the freaking awesome people that I was so very grateful, humbled, and blessed to work with. Well, we got us a pretty good show this week. My guest is a longtime friend, so it's even more humbling and grounding to be able to talk to him now that, you know, our lives and our careers are at the point that they are for us individually. My guest this week is, man, my homie, my brother, my everything, Mace Byers. He is the bass player for a band called Gray Days, and they're going to be having a reunion show out in Tempe at, he'll tell you where it's at. I remember where it is, but it's right at the tip of my tongue. I can't remember the name of it. As soon as he says it, I'm going to say, oh, yeah, that's where it was. So come on in, Mace. Tell us about it. It's so awesome. Man, I am absolutely not exaggerating, man. It is freaking awesome to be able to talk to you tonight. How are you doing, bro?
Excellent, J. Lewis. You know, first of all, thank you so much for bringing me on this on your show. It's an honor and a privilege, my friend.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thank you. So tell us about tell us about this reunion show. You know, we could get into talking about your band and all that, but tell us about this big reunion show, how it came about, and, you know, how excited you are for that.
It's wild. You know, the band, the last time we were together as a band playing was about 17, 18 years ago. Wow. This record, No Sun Today, we recorded maybe almost 20 years ago. And what's happened is, due to the success and, you know, the success of Chester Bennington with Linkin Park, you know, he left when Gray Days disbanded, he went over and he joined Linkin Park. Uh-huh. And through some time, fans got a hold of, because we never got the CD out. We had a lot of issues with the industry and different labels. We had it signed twice with different labels. But the fans got a hold of this online, and we did a small little release online for a little while. But it's really because of the fans. The fans will not let this record die. You know, it's a rock record.
Awesome.
I think, yeah. And I think one of the reasons they're grabbing a hold of this thing is, you know, Chester's writing at the time was, you know, he's a struggling musician. So a lot of these lyrics and the vibe on this record was, you know, a lead singer sleeping on a couch, you know, wanting to be something in the industry. And I think it really comes through on that record, you know. And how it came about as far as the reunion, it just, you know, interviews, they still interviewed all of us through all the years, me, the drummer, Sean Dowdell, different people, you know, Chester through this thing. And Sean Dowdell, who owns Club Tattoo, you know, the huge,
yeah,
have like six or seven locations. And now I believe, you know, Chester has a few, or at least one at the Link with him, and they became partners and stuff. They're having a 22-year anniversary for Club Tattoo. So they made a decision, well, why don't we reunite Grey Days to play Club Tattoo 22-year anniversary? And it's actually at the Marquee Theater in Tempe.
Marquee, see? I knew I knew the name.
Saturday, September 23rd, we have a band that'll be playing with us called Catastro, which are starting to get some pretty good success in the industry as well at the moment. And they're from Tempe area, I think.
Okay.
If you remember Donnie Johnson from the Big Fish Pub?
Yeah.
Okay, well, now, also, the same night we're having this event, Donnie is the one that runs the Marquee now. So,
okay.
It's Donnie's birthday. So you got the reunion of Grey Days, you got Club Tattoo 22nd year anniversary, and you have Donnie Johnson's birthday all in one event.
Okay. Is it just going to be, and I don't mean to say gist, but is it going to be Grey Days and the other band playing? Catastro. What did you say their name was?
It's Catastro, K-A-T-A-S-T-R-O. And I do. Okay. They have a new video on YouTube, and they're managed by 1212 Management over in Tempe. Well, we're gonna give a shout out to, because they're actually helping us throughout all this thing. Gonzo over at 1212 Management is working with Grey Days, helping us out, putting all this together. And so it's gonna be the two bands. You know, you can get tickets on luckymanonline.com. And we also have like a VIP meet and greet. There's going to be 100 tickets sold. So we're, you know, fans come back and meet and greet with the band, take pictures, they get t-shirts and stuff. But I tell you, it's really the fans. It's the fans have brought this to life, would not let it die. And that's why it's happening. To be honest with you, no one in the band needs the money for this. This is all out of pure enjoyment that we want to get together and play together. You know?
Yeah. I was going to ask you, you know, because this is something that was basically spearheaded by the fans, like, just talk about, you know, as a musician, because I remember you, you know, just like you remember me before, you remember me years before Heartbeat. So, you know, the journey that I have. So just talk a little bit about, you know, how humbling and grounding it makes you as a musician that, you know, you've worked so hard and you're having a reunion show because your fans just won't let it go. How grounding is that?
It's very difficult to put into words. You know, I mean, this is something I co-wrote and, you know, wrote 20 years ago. I've done vinyl at 17, done a lot of records, and it's extremely humbling. It's just amazing. I don't even know how to describe it other than I feel completely blessed and I'm embracing it, you know, and I feel very, very thankful to all the fans. And mm-hmm. Very thankful. We have a team of people from around the world helping Grey Days, and they're all fan based. We have like Diana from Romania. We got Andy Rodriguez from Argentina, working our pages. You know, we have like, we're at the real Grey Days Instagram, at the real Grey Days Twitter. We have a Facebook page, Grey Days, and it's all fans that are just attacking this thing for us. And it's just amazing, you know. And I spend time on the Grey Days Facebook page talking to all the fans, any questions they have.
Yeah, I do the same thing on the Heartbeat page, and you know, to me, that's grounding and validating, and I do it just because, you know, fans appreciate your work, and you know, you're in a position where you have people that are genuinely, other than they just enjoy your work, you know, they are following you and they are appreciating you, and that just speaks volumes and testament to the level of work that you or anybody else that is followed in that way. You know, you hear, or I hear sometimes, you know, when an actor does a particular role, or even when a singer puts out a particular album, I've heard them say, you know, we knew that this was going to be something. When you were writing this album, after you wrote it and after you recorded it, did you ever stop and say, you know what, we really have something here? Or did you treat this like any other album you've written?
Oh, no. Working with Chester at the time, I knew the level of songwriting and his vocal chops and everything. There was no doubt in my mind at the time what a force he could possibly be one day in the industry. But the songs themselves, we put a lot of time into that record. Mm-hmm. And I've done a lot of records and all, but relearning my old bass lines from 20 years ago really put me in a different head spot. And I could really hear how much time it went in. It was because they were written for the song. It wasn't about, you know, oh, I'm going to fill in this riff now because my chops or whatever at this age. Then it was all song orientated. And we had a very, you know, we had a very good, not the word hype, but momentum going at that time. And the industry beat us up a little bit, you know. But the songs, like, for instance, so Sean gets a call after this is official that we're doing this reunion from a producer. Her name is Sylvia Massey. She's worked with Tool, John Cash, Chili Peppers, you name it. I think she's on like 26 platinum records. It's just, she's a producer engineer, just an amazing icon in the industry. And she listens to that record and she says, this is still relevant today. I would like to remix this record, No Sun Today, you know?
Wow.
And then, so now, unfortunately, the guitar player from No Sun Today, Bobby, had passed away some time ago from a brain aneurysm. May he rest in peace, you know, what a great guy. So we have Jason Barnes from the first CD, which is Wake Me. Now, he wrote a few songs from that are on No Sun Today. We re-recorded from Wake Me, one of them being Sometimes, which is a fan favorite. So she says, you know, she wants to remix this record, and she'd like to add some guitar tracks. So we're like, wow, this is exciting. So, you know, we fire a call into Jason Barnes, who's already going to do the reunion, and he goes out to Portland and redoes all this guitar work with this brilliant, genius producer. And let me tell you, I heard some of these rough mixes and they're just amazing. So on top of me being blessed to be able to play with them again and, you know, anything, now I'm part of this record is a whole new, came to life on a whole nother level. Now. It's just wild.
And for you personally, how cool is it to be able to, I know you said that you played with Mr. Barnes before. How cool is it? I shouldn't even just limit it to him. Just how cool is it just to be back with, I mean, you guys put the band back together. That's what people say all around the world when people get back together. Oh, we put the band back together. But you guys literally put the band back together. How does that feel?
I'm going to be honest with you, and I've shared this with like a couple close friends, one in particular. who used to be a musician, and but now he's kind of in the corporate world. When I was rehearsing, because we did a warm-up rehearsal over the weekend in Phoenix, and so I was, you know, once I learned the arrangement of the tunes again, I went into a rehearsal studio, and I blasted my own record and played, you know, to it. And I have to, and I'm being 100% honest with you, Jay Lewis, I got overwhelmed emotionally because it was such a heavy time. I just feel so, overrun with emotion that I'm fortunate to play these songs again with these players. I mean, it really, almost like kind of teary-eyed. I had to stop a couple of times. It was kind of overwhelming that I'm getting blessed to do this after all these years. I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing feeling. You know, and there's some synchronicity here. Like, you know, Sean Dedel from Club Tattoo and the drummer from Great A's just put out a book called, you know, Tattooed Millionaire. And it's the story of Great A's. And it's also how he started Club Tattoo. I was one of the founding members with him. But at the time, I, you know, I'm sober now, clean and sober. I'm kind of a mess. So I kind of fell apart on a lot of things I started. But coming on 7 years clean and sober. Yay.
Man. Congratulations on that.
And I know that's a big part of it, I'll be honest with you. That's a big part of why this is happening for me, I believe.
That's actually what my next question was going to be, you know, again, because I do know and understand your journey, and you just revealed a little bit of it. You know, going back, playing these songs, playing this music, does it reignite memories of those dark days for you, or are you in such a different place now that, like, you can see those times, but they're in your rear view mirror, so to speak?
That's a very good question. I have to be honest with you. Like, when I read Sean's book or listened to it on audio, actually driving out to Arizona, I have to be honest with you. I don't remember a lot of the dark times. I was kind of a mess. So I really don't remember a lot of the things I did, you know, but there's no negativity to this at all because it's happening at all. It's just such a positive force in my life right now that I'm getting to be able to do this. You know, I mean, Chester Bennington, I mean, he sold 100 million records worldwide. I mean, who gets the opportunity, A, to be fortunate even to work with a vocalist of that caliber, but yet the fact that he was one of your best friends and, you know, you wrote songs together and stuff like that and get a chance to, I don't want to say relive the moment, but almost maybe started a fresh little journey. It's just mind-blowing, you know.
Now, you mentioned the song, and I'm going to actually play it in a little bit. You mentioned the fan favorite song, Sometimes. Talk about that leading into me playing it. Where did that song come from? What was the motivation behind it? And what does that song mean to you?
Well, I can tell you what it means to me because Sometimes was on the Wake Me record. And when the guys from Great A's were looking for a new bass player after that, when that CD was done and they had some issues with their bass player, they didn't even know I was a bass player because I was production manager of Lexi Ballroom back in the day. They gave me that CD and I heard that song. And when I heard, because that we re-recorded it. So Jason's one of the writers on that, Jason Barnes. And I heard Sometimes, and I was like, this is a brilliant song. It really affected me. It's kind of just a so emotionally cool song. So to me, every time I listen to Sometimes, it reminds me of why I joined Great A's. I really joined that band after hearing that song. Go, this, you know, that was a motivator for me to join Great AIDS was that particular song, and fans seem to feel the same way. They love Great AIDS. They love that song, you know.
And sometimes is one of the songs that you're going to be playing at your reunion show, right?
Absolutely. We're going to be playing the entire No Sun Today CD from beginning to end.
Okay. How many songs is that?
I believe there's 11.
11. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've talked about it, so let's just jump right into it. This is Gray Days with Sometimes. I listened to this song. I think it is slamming. I can't wait for you all to hear it, so I'm shutting up right now. Shit, Batman.
Come on, man.
That's just, you know, okay, here's the thing. I was already trying my best, and, you know, I have certain people that listen to my show, so I'm not necessarily saying I don't want to work, but I am trying my best to see if my schedule can sync up for me to come and see you guys show. Totally not saying this, man, because you're the homie, but that, no other way to say it, that fucking rocked. That fucking
thanks,
rocked.
Man. You know, and of course I got tickets with your name on it, you know that, but Chester wasn't even of drinking age singing like that. I mean, you know, wasn't even legal. He was either 19, 20 years old.
I mean, I have to be honest. I've heard that before. But that song is one of those songs, man. I totally understand what the producer was talking about, because that song is just that one song is still so relevant today. You know, the music in it, the lyrics in it, the arrangement of it, it's still so relevant. And, you know, yeah, Chester sang his ass off, but dude, the arrangement was awesome. The music was just as killer. So, dude, that's just great A's.
yeah. You know, and I tell you, we got in that room for this warm-up rehearsal Saturday and Sunday, and it was like we never not played together. I'm not even hyping it out. I mean, by the second rehearsal on Sunday, we were a band again. And I want to give a shout out to Kristen Davis. He used to be in a group called SIL back in the Tempe area back in the day. And being all the new guitar work is done via Sylvia Massey on the remix of the record, Jason's doing all the new guitar work. Jason, the one that was from Wake Me album. Mm-hmm. And Kristen's doing a lot of the original guitar work. And he's a great player, and I gelled with him great. He's going to be on my side of the stage, so I can hear the original guitar work, and Jason doesn't throw me off because it's like a new record. But it's going to be a wall of sound, and there's going to be a big production level going on there. I'm just very excited, you know. It's going to be a big production, but it's going to be a wall of sound with two guitar players, because we always had one guitar player. But being that, you know, Sylvia Massey added all these guitar parts and layered this record, No Sun Today Again, you know, so Kristen will be playing the older guitar parts. Jason will be playing all the new stuff that was produced by Sylvia. And I was kind of kidding around, but I'm going to have Kristen on my side of the stage because... The album is so ingrained in my head after 20 years that if I start hearing different guitar parts, it might kind of throw me off, you know. So I got my boy Kristen. And he's a great player, super, super nice guy. Like I said, he used to be in a band, I think, a band called Trick Turner, had a little bit of success in the industry, and SIL out in Tempe area. And it's just going to be a blast.
Speaking of other bands, man, like... What do you listen to? What does Mace listen to other than your own music or your own band's music? What other bands do you listen to or appreciate?
You know, I have one real favorite. I mean, I grew up in a record store, so I like everything. You know, I really do like everything. But one of my favorite artists, his name is Butch Walker. He's a songwriter, singer, songwriter, producer, artist. He's produced Pink. He's done a lot of solo stuff. He can play every instrument. He produces it. He's an engineer. I remember when I was younger and I first heard Prince, Dirty Mind, you know.
Okay.
how he played every instrument on that record, other than some of the synth solos and stuff. And that, it took me years and years and years of being a musician to get to the point. I went to school for sound engineering and all that stuff and learned how to sing from working with great singers, you know, to be able to actually do my own little solo thing, which I've done, and play all the instruments. So I Butch Walker is one of my favorite artists of today. I like some of the newer stuff, like what Imagine Dragons. I really like Paramore. I like some of the new chick singers out there. But, you know, primarily I just put on a Pandora station and let it ride.
Okay.
You know, that's a strange thing about today and technology. I'd have to go, like, I don't listen to regular radio, so I have to actually go have a friend turn me on to something new or go look for something new. You know what I mean? It's not like back in the day you put the radio on and they're plugging something, because I don't really listen to the radio. That's the interesting thing about the industry today.
If you want to call and talk to Mace, you can reach us at 1-888-429-5471, 1-888-429-5471. I am so sorry about that, Mace. It seems the difficulty was on my end, so I apologize. I did not mean to cut you off.
That's all good. It's all good. Felt like I haven't been cut off before. Especially on my Harley, man, in L.A.
Yeah. So tell me, you told me what you listened to. What do you think, what is your opinion of the state of rock music today? And then a follow-up question to that, where do you see just music as a whole today in today's society?
Well, the thing is, for me as a songwriter and an artist, I think most people that don't play instruments or don't write have a different outlook on music. I'm not going to say I'm a snob, but I listen to music. Like me personally, I listen to music. What I'm missing in a lot of music today, and I'm not trying to be negative, is I love like shredding or melodic. I miss the guitar, and I don't want to take away from the fact there's some great songwriters out there, great melodies, and some of the stuff they're doing with say electronics and stuff with these songs are great, and I listen to a lot of it, and I like it. I like the cool tones and all, but I miss that kind of high energy guitar. And I think, and what's a strange thing about music, and it's probably because of my age, is this DJ phenomenon. Like you can actually go and there's 10,000 people watching the guy mix. And it's got to be a generational thing. You know what I mean? It's got to be. Now, when I think of it, because I've been in production for so long, I go, oh, well, that's the easy way out. You throw someone up there to open up for a big act, and you just have to plug them in. It's much easier on a production level. You don't have to have a bunch of bands. But, you know, these younger kids and these younger this generation, they really love the trance stuff and the bass stuff. They really dig it. I'm a live guy. You know, rip my face off. That's what I like. And I think in the future what's going to happen is just like anything else, it all comes back around. You know, like I remember when we had that kind of Detroit garage band thing with the White Stripes and stuff that was kicking for a while, like Jet and the band Jet and stuff. And it was like a lot of dirty, grungy, raw guitar. I really liked that. And I think, you know, it all just comes around as generations grow older and new kids come on the scene. But what's amazing to me is when I hop on, what I do is go on YouTube. And I see, I'm a little envious of the musicality or the chops that these young musicians have. And it's blowing my mind what these young kids, how well they can play. It's just amazing. And I don't know why that's so different now. Maybe because we didn't have the internet, maybe we didn't see the people that played that well, that young, you know, back in the day.
I totally think it's a, you know, just as you said, it's a YouTube thing. I think if YouTube was out, you know, when a lot of, I mean, just imagine if YouTube was out when, you know, the Iron Maidens were coming out, the Metallicas were coming out. Just imagine if they could have seen clips like bands of today can see clips of them, or, you know, see different videos of just a solo of a guitar player or a drummer, and you can actually sit there and study it. So I really think that that's a big reason why music has changed to this point today. But that also, in my opinion, it kind of speaks testament also to bands like Gray Days and, you know, the other bands that these cats are able to go and watch and see the real music, the live music, because as you said, it's, you know, it just seems like live music. I don't necessarily want to say live music is dead because I'm not a musician and I don't want to misspeak, but I know live shows aren't as sought after now as they were before because of the internet and how you can have access to everything. So, you know, I agree.
And, but the interesting thing about it is too, I'm going to say this, the majority of Gray Days fans, and I'm seeing this, and I even saw it before this reunion was going to happen. And because of Facebook and stuff, you know, fans are always able to reach me fairly easily. The majority of our fans are abroad. You know, you got South America. Okay, this show, we have fans coming from Japan. Like, you know, it's one fan, Kelly Faber, she's coming from France with her father. Romania, South America, Germany, they're all coming. But rock, the big shows, they're having these big festivals in Europe and South America. I mean, Linkin Park is playing average 50 to 80,000 people a show. You know, it's just amazing. And if I could talk about Linkin Park for a second.
Yes.
I keep up on a lot, and Chester got a little bit of a beating here and there from some of the older fans, you know, because they've been around like a good 16 years, and because their new album isn't super heavy, you know. And it's because, you know, I think when you're a songwriter, you get older and stuff, you know, Chester's the real deal. And so is Mike, all those guys, you know, they don't just write music to write music. You know, they're writing what they're feeling. And, like, I really like the song One More Light. You know, I watched Linkin Park on the Jimmy Kimmel Live show not too long ago. And they Chester dedicated the song One More Light to Chris Cornell from Soundgarden. And I didn't know what that song was about prior to that show. But once I listened to the lyrics and realized he sang that because it's about suicide, let me tell you, man, if you watch that show, if you watch that actually, that live performance and didn't get teary-eyed, if you like Soundgarden and Chris Cornell, who was just amazing, you're not human, because it just almost knocked me over. And literally, Chester couldn't barely contain himself towards the end of singing the song. And that just proves that that song is real. He didn't just write a more, like, I'm not going to say poppy, but not non-screaming or not, you know, aggressive song. He just wrote a song. Songs are just songs, you know, and it's like a flavor, but it's just amazing. And I think they've done, through the test of time, Linkin Park has just held up, I mean, all this time, to still be relevant and prevalent in the industry is amazing, you know. And they're a bunch of great guys. They're so professional.
You bring up a good point. You bring up a really good point about not doing a song just to do a song. How do you feel? Speak a little bit on, I mean, yeah, we've all got our bills to pay. I get that. Speak a little bit on the songwriters that just do the songs for the times versus the songwriters like yourself and Chester and, you know, even I know Maynard from Tool. Speak a little bit about, you know, the songwriter versus that still writes from emotion versus the songwriter that writes commercially.
Well, that's a tough question. that's a good one.
This is on the level, man. Put us on the level.
Okay. I think that's a little hard to decipher. Let's just call it what it is, fluff. And so, I guess they call it selling out, you know. I just don't know. Because to me, it's hard for me to even hear that. Because to me, if a songwriter is writing a song, what's always tripped me out about people saying you're a sellout, you went commercial. Well, yeah. All commercial is you're selling records. And if you're in the if you're a professional songwriter, you want to sell records. You know, that's what you do. But hopefully you're writing from the heart and it just happens to match the time. I think that might be the difference. I'll put it this way. You have some of these artists that cross over to country when you know damn well they could give a crap about country.
Yeah.
So there's a good, I'm not saying anything negative about him, the singer from Poison from back in the day, but he went into that whole country thing. And
Bret Michaels.
And, you know, come on, you're not a country singer. So I guess that would be an example. I'm sorry, Bret, if anybody ever tells you about this. But, you know, he's obviously did that for the dollar. You know, there's no doubt in my mind. You know? And then you have just writers that write, you know? And you have to hope that you're prevalent, you're relevant at the time, because you just have to be hope. Timing is everything in life, really, you know?
Is there going to be a after the reunion tour? I mean, after the reunion show that Great A's is doing in Tempe, is there going to be a tour set up? Are you going to visit any of the European cities where your fans, or the South American cities where your fans seem to be prevalent?
Okay. Now, this is where I'm on thin ice. Because all the fans are asking from all over the world about this, and everybody wants to know that question. So on the level, I don't know. None of us know. All we do know is that there is a demand for it. And I'm going to be, again, on the level. This really is up to Chester if this is something he probably wants to do in the future. I believe that this reunion show is going to come off great. I know that we're all getting along great. The musicians sounded great. And I think it matters. It's how the show goes. How does Chester feel about it? How does everybody feel about it? Mm. Is this something we want to do? The demand is there. I'm not going to get into the business particulars with you, but let me tell you, we're getting pulled in every direction. And of course, then you're talking about the machine. You know, everybody's going to want to make the dollar off of whatever is in demand. You know, so of course they want us to do shows. We're already got offered other, you know, some things going. We got some pretty serious offers. But
okay.
It's all in the gray area. Nothing. So no one's making any decisions, and we're just really going into this thing with an open mind and just wanting to have a great time. Again, none of us need the money to do. You know, we're not looking for the money. We just really want to have a great time, and it's because the fans want it, and Sylvia Massey loves it, and so it's turning into its own thing. It has a life of its own. So organically, wherever the universe or pulls us, like my mom used to say, whatever is meant for you doesn't pass you by. So we'll have to see.
And you also, because this is something that, you know, the fans want, let me throw a little controversial question towards you. If this is something that the fans want, and this is something, let's just say, scheduling wise, Chester is not able to do it. Would there be a Great A's tour with another singer? And
Absolutely not. Not in a million years, because it's not about that. It's about the band Great A's. And without Chester, there's no Great A's. I personally don't think there's another vocalist on the planet that would be able to sing that, do that record justice for the fans. You know, not in a million years. And it's all up to Chester. If he wants to do it, we'd probably do it. So, again, it's just for a good time. We're going to do this and we'll see what happens. You know,
if you were to do the tour, what city would you, Mace Byers, be like? I mean, I know you would be excited to go to all the cities and see all the fans, but is there one city in particular that, if this does happen, you're like, okay, this, we have to go here?
I would like to go to the capital of Chile so I can see a beautiful girl named Marianne Ruiz, who I've been talking to online, who is one of the most beautiful females I've ever seen in my life.
And yes, I did ask the question, and yes, I should have known I was going, yes, I get it. Okay. So I guess Miss Ruiz, if this does happen, I'm assuming Miss Ruiz already has tickets.
If this happens, she'd have an all access pass to my heart. She might.
Now,
even
how
play.
Are your? Yeah, how are your? I don't mean to flip the subject too much, but how are your German fans? Because for some reason, I just have a feeling like Great A's would sell out a stadium in Germany.
Oh, I have. I talk to fans from Germany all the time. We do have a pretty good following in Germany. Absolutely, you know, we do. There's a couple people specifically talk to me all the time. Excuse me. But I see a lot of, I mean, if you go to our Great A's Facebook page, you're going to see all different languages. I have to use my translator on my phone to talk to a lot of my fans, and they have to do the same.
Yeah, sort of, yeah. Yeah, I get that. Google Translate has really become a friend of mine. I'm absolutely grateful, you know, just as I know you are, you know, just to have to use Google Translate, because you have someone that wants to appreciate you so much. You know, there is no such thing as a language barrier anymore. So I absolutely understand that.
Yeah. And it's funny, though, because you'll agree with me. Sometimes what they say or what I say doesn't exactly pan out. So I find myself almost talking broken English. You know what I mean? And I start picking up, like, how they talk. And I start, like, saying things backwards and stuff. It's kind of interesting.
Well, listen, man, I can't tell you again how just awesome this time has been with you. It's great, Mace, to, you know, be able to talk to you, as I said earlier, at this stage of your journey. It's so amazing that, you know, life can throw you some curves, but you are testament that, you know, if you just persevere, work hard, and sacrifice, you know, you're going to get your zenith in the end. And, you know, it was such a great time. What do you have, you know, what's your parting inspirational words, you know, for our fans as well? You know, where can we find Great A's as well as you?
Okay, once again, so on Instagram, we're at The Real Great A's. On Twitter, at The Real Great A's. And we have our Facebook, The Great A's page there. And I'm just going to say this. This is one of my beliefs. And that, what's funny, when I read Sean's book, he said something similar, and it was just kind of interesting. But there is such thing as luck at being at the right place at the right time. But I firmly believe that a big part of luck is being prepared for whatever opportunity comes your way and be prepared quickly. So basically, you know, arm up for the get down in life, whatever category it is. You know, if you're a starving artist in any category or anything you're doing, just because you're not making money at it or anything, be true to your art, whatever you're doing, and keep your side of the road clean. And when an opportunity comes your way and you're ready, that's part of what luck is, I believe, my humble opinion.
And after the reunion show, is there anywhere that we can catch you or Great A's performing?
There's, again, some possible things in the works. And I can't say either way yet. And
okay.
It's really up to, you know, it's up to the big machine. Because I'm just the bass player, which is kind of refreshing for me on this round. Because I've, with all my different projects and bands and records I've done, I'm just a bass player. And they just point me in the direction of the team, and that's where I go. I show up on time, ready to rock. But if
okay.
they keep an eye out on the Great A's Facebook page and the other sites, it's all going to be on there.
Well, listen, again, bro, I'm just going to say this to my listeners. You know, as May said, it doesn't matter what walk of life you're in. You can be an artist. You can be a musician. Hell, you can be a garbage man. It really doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, as long as you, you know, just persevere, just understand the importance is within you. When you find it within you and you come to that self-realization of you, the strength, the confidence, the know-how, it will all be there. You know, don't let anything that happens in life stand in your way. You have obstacles in life. I believe obstacles come in your life because universe, God, whatever you believe in, doesn't think that you're ready for the next level. You're not strong enough. So you have to persevere. You have to go through. But what you're going to find on the other side is just so much more beautiful. And when you do work hard and when you do sacrifice, when you do finally get your reward, and you will get it, when you do get your reward, it will absolutely be more grateful to you. You will be more humbled, and you will be more grounded. Take it from me. Take it from Mace. We are going to close out the show tonight with another, just to me, another slamming hit from Great A's. Just tell us a little bit about this one, Mace. It's Down Syndrome. What's this one about? And then when you're done, we're just going to roll right into the song.
Down Syndrome is one of the songs. The Down Syndrome is one of the songs I co-wrote with the band. All these songs was about what Chester was feeling at the time. It's a very deep song. And it was basically about his emotions at the time. So I can't really say exactly what it's about, but I'd say it's one of the fans' favorite and one of my favorites. And I'm just going to say to you, thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the show, J. Lewis, on the level.
Yes, sir.
Humbling, and I'm very grateful, and thank you so much. And God bless you, and God bless to all the fans. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Here we go with another slamming hit from Great A's. Doug, go ahead and drop that Down Syndrome.
Anywhere you go, anyone you see, it's real. It's up to you to make it rain. And you know how it feels to be sound, to need sound. And you know. Tell me how you feel. It doesn't matter when you're down. When you look at me with your eyes, a smile on your face, it seems happy. Are you happy?
That was Down Syndrome from Gray Days. Please make sure you check out the archive page of On the Level with J. Lewis Mills. All of the links for Gray Days is going to be up. Also going to try and put a flyer up for the reunion show. Once again, just want to thank Mace Byers. Love you, brother. I really hope I can make it to your show. Until next time, everybody, just stay inspired, stay motivated. Look forward to seeing you next week. We are out. Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.